We want everybody to take their mountain. Their mountain is whatever ideas, dreams that have been put inside of them. We want to see the fullness of that expressed.
Whatever stage that somebody's in, I would just encourage to dream about, like, what are the talents that you have and what are the things that make you come alive.
Wherever there's brokenness, God has a kingdom revolution for every industry. All right, welcome everyone to another episode of Take Your Mountain. I'm your host, Jason Weimer, and today we have the pleasure of interviewing another Gratuz partner, Skip Johnson. Welcome, Skip.
Hey, great to be here.
Well, excited to have you on. Like we've done in past interviews with partners, we just kind of want to get to know each other better for the audience benefit. So maybe just start off with a little bit of your upbringing, kind of where your roots came from, a little bit of what your childhood was like, kind of leading into your adult pursuits.
And the question there is like, how far down the rabbit hole do you want to go? Because our childhood, our upbringing, it certainly, you know, might feel like a wavy path, but then you look back and you're like, okay, this is how I got here. God brought me here. I grew up in a small town in northern Minnesota, Hibbing, Minnesota, home of Bob Dylan, Kevin McHale, the town that moved the world's most expensive high school. Fun story for you history buffs, as Andrew Carnegie and Rockefeller had interest up there, and the iron ore deposits were under the town of 18,000 people, so they paid to move the town. And in exchange, they built an incredible high school. So those were kind of our claims to fame. Small town. My dad was a teacher. Mom stayed home until maybe I was junior high age, and she went back to teaching. And you can't tell it here, but I'm 6'5", not your typical wrestler build, but I wrestled through high school. Dad was the coach. I was kind of born into it. And, share that because I think it led to work ethic. It led to a willingness sometimes to, you know, put your neck out there, because on a wrestling mat, you got a team component, you know, and you want to perform for the team, but there's nobody to blame except you. So did that, went to North Dakota State in Fargo, North Dakota, originally for architecture, because I knew I loved design and ideas and space, and pretty soon realized business was more of a passion. Jason, you and I in some ways are cut from the same cloth. Looking back, I was always more comfortable actually around adults as a kid than I was, like, I wasn't out playing. I wanted to listen to my uncles talking about the deal that they did, the business that they had. My grandpa was a successful investor, and I gave him $1,000 as a 13-year-old to invest. And I think he was like, what the heck? Who's this kid? And it's like, well, I didn't spend any money because we lived in the country, and I mowed a lot of lawns, and I knew that like the stock market could grow. And so that was the beginning of an investing journey and kind of, I don't know, passion for entrepreneurship, deals. And got to college. I'm like, How long do we want to go here? Because, you know, my story could last a while. That's
sure. No,
that was
like
the question.
I'm just curious. What did your grandpa do? Did he open up a brokerage account for you, or what did he do with that for you?
I wasn't raised with much wealth, but when my grandparents on the other side passed away when I was really, really little, when the family sold the house, there was a little bit of money left, and my parents put a bit of money in, I guess, some kind of an UPMA account or whatever, a uniform trust for minors. It was basically a college account.
Cool.
And so I got to see, you know, over the years, like sometimes we'd have to file a tax return because my grandpa was a good investor. And so I was like, I made $600 on that account last year. Like, I should do more of that. Here, grandpa, here's $1,000. And I think he's like, oh my gosh, I don't want to lose my like grandson's $1,000.
Big responsibility.
But you know, I think, you know, he explained, like, he'd talk to me about, you know, you're investing in some of the greatest companies on the planet. And I always thought that was interesting.
That's cool.
So pretty early got me shifted towards a mindset of business, investing, entrepreneurship, getting to see some of the results of that in extended family was just always, it did something. I liked it. I just liked it.
I think a lot of people resonate with that in the sense of, people hear about investing, entrepreneurship as ways to financial freedom. But I think for a lot of people who don't have a background, maybe in their family or any kind of models to follow, it can be kind of like a cool idea, a nice idea maybe for somebody else, but like how to figure out how to make that transition from taking the safer route, you know, working a job versus going off doing your own thing. Sounded like you started off similar, like going to college, did more of a traditional path. Maybe share a little bit how you made that transition, when felt appropriate. You know, some people, you know, put their 20s in and work the ladder for a while and then find a thing to go off into. But some people are just like kind of know earlier on, like, hey, this is what I was meant to do. Maybe share a little bit what was your entrepreneurial path? How did you get to where you got to launch into your career?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, to get there, I think I'm going to go back a little bit. So I grew up in the church. You know, pretty early age, I knew that, you know, Jesus was the answer. I wanted him. But also in a weird kind of I guess I'd call it like a broke Christian mentality. Like, how much is too much? When, you know, are you chasing money instead of like, and if you're really spiritual, if you really love the Lord, you'd probably be a missionary in Africa or a pastor. Like, I thought those were like the two spiritual career paths that I could have chosen. And I wasn't like really drawn to either of those. I always had some fascination with finances, with business, didn't know how to do that. I think had this inclination that I really wanted to have, you know, to make money someday. And honestly, that came probably out of two areas. That came out of maybe the pain of not having a lot. We didn't have much growing up. But it also came out of just like somehow I was wired as like, I love problem solving. I like thinking about things. I was always quick with like math and numbers and stuff and figuring things out, but not sure where the career path would go. And ultimately not having any great like model as to how do I do that, right? Like most of the entrepreneurs in our family went through a more traditional model. They were doctors who built some wealth or lawyers who built some wealth or various white collar that then expanded into investing. And then there was maybe one blue collar business, which was a family lumber yard. You know, but I don't know how, like, I always heard that story, like, Ray was really successful now, but my uncle being like, yeah, I was framing houses at 20 and it was terrible. And then went into sales at this and a really roundabout journey to like kind of ending up accidentally as an owner. So I didn't have a path. Okay. I knew there was like a desire. I had a tension of, can I follow God and want to chase money? Like at the same time, like, what about this Bible verse that says, you know, either like love one or the other. And of course now, like, I understand that was a, you know, maybe a flawed there's a lot of nuance to that, right? Like, you only serve one master, but there's nothing inherently wrong with being successful. Like, if you're an entrepreneur, you can serve so many people, you can be generous and all that, but that was part of a journey. So when I was like 19, maybe 20 in college, two years into college, I was introduced to a network marketing company. Okay. So think, you know, like an Amway type multi-level marketing business. And what it did for me, it's the same model I actually follow at Gratus. At Gratus, I think about, how do we educate people? How do we motivate people? And how do we empower people? And so with education, I got educated on like, you mean there's businesses out there where you could create passive income, you could sell something, like you could go start a business without a huge downstroke. Number two, it was like, there was the motivation. I saw young people who had some success. I saw it, and then they had a path, right? So it was empowered. And I just went all in. I'm like, here's a way to build residual income. I'm going to get rich. I'm going to make I still remember the pitch. It was like $65,610 a month was what they showed as like the ultimate path. I didn't make that much. And actually pretty quickly the company went bankrupt. But what it did is it honestly, it took this like young kid who was even like somewhat socially awkward or like didn't like to get on the phone. And I was forced into it because my why was big enough. Like I remember the first step is we had to go like get 20 customers. And I'm like calling. My mom was like my worst customer ever. She was the first and she was the hardest. And I remember being like, Mom, like seriously, it's like it's long distance. It's the same phone line. It's the same cost. Like just support your kid. But you know, like getting shut down by a few people, but having a big why, like I just sort of came out of my shell in a willingness and a passion or an idea. Like there are ways to go succeed. There are people who have found a path before. There are models that you can follow in entrepreneurship, investing, or paths to go have success. And so that was really like the start of it. So I wasn't an intentional entrepreneur, but I look back and go, wow, the zest was in there. I was just waiting for an opportunity. And once some sort of a path emerged and I was told that it's like work hard and stick with it, I knew I could do those two things. You know, I didn't ask a lot of the hard critical questions about the rest of the business, but it set me on that path.
That's awesome. So powerful. I want to get a little more on the why, but kind of going back to the mindset piece, I think, this is part of the reason why we're doing the podcast, right? It's like talking about how important mindset is to your success and like the literal beliefs or wiring that's in our brain. And if we don't have that right, like you can have the goals, greatest goals in the world, but even some of the goals come from the mindset that they're even possible. Could you share a little bit of how you wrestled with, I now call it like more of an abundance mindset that, not that you have your cake and eat it too, but these things are not incompatible, that we can serve the kingdom. But guess what? The kingdom needs some money. And it's important that we do money really, really well in service of that master. I think a lot of people get stuck at this point and just either decide to, you know, I guess it's just safer to be broke. Well, I'm not even going to venture out there. How did you come to a cohesive thought process on that?
Yeah. Some wrestling for sure. Some digging into my why, what was behind it. If you've ever studied Enneagram, like I'm a classic 3 achiever, which it's just like, you want to look good. You want to look like you have it together. And a lot of times I came out of pain of like not having something, right? We learned maybe that validation came out of weren't perfect, right? Like, I look back now and go like, it wasn't all great all the time. And God has had to refine some of that and burn some of it out. So I use those 3 terms, right? I said, educate, motivate, empower. And so quick, like at Gratuz, you know, where we get to do some real estate deals together, we have this passion. We want everybody to take their mountain. What's their mountain? Their mountain is whatever ideas, dreams that have been put inside of them. We want to see the fullness of that expressed. Okay. A lot of times it takes money or time or resources to accomplish the fullness of what we've been designed to do. So like you need money to do things, right? Like, so money is simply a tool. I mean, even guys like Dave Ramsey helped me with some of it. He'd go like, money's just a tool. Like think of it like a brick, right? I can use a brick to build a hospital, or I could throw a brick through this window. Mm. The brick doesn't care. The brick's simply a brick. So it wasn't. So some of it is I just had to realize like this is a tool. It's part of how the world works, right? Is it takes currency or money to like pay for things. A guy named Zig Ziglar used to say money's pretty close to air on the gotta have it list, right? He's saying money can't buy you happiness, but at least it can buy you the Advil if you got a headache, right? Like it's a tool. Okay. So it was neither. So I had to dig and refine my motivation. But then like beyond that, if I go to like the educate, motivate, empower, even our time together, Jason, we've known each other 14 years. You helped educate me on some of the power of entrepreneurship, of investing, right? I became deeply convinced that if you truly understood the power of investing in like private deals, passive real estate, like you'd realize that that can lead to maybe outsized outcomes, that can lead to financial, a high likelihood of financial success, right? But, you know, so it's like you get educated on it and you're like, cool, how can I do it? Well, you know, then sometimes you need to like the motivation, like, is there somebody that's done it before? Is there like a well-trod path? Is there, you know, a journey to it? Okay. So bringing that all together and empower, right? Like that's part of why we built a fund that had easy accessibility, low minimums, was we want to help empower people on that journey with the tools so that they can go after their thing. Not that we're the only path to it, but it's like, we want to help people take their mountain ultimately. So we built this thing, this fund. So, you know, over time, I've gotten to meet some really amazing people where, you know, work-life balance, like you gotta, you know, work and balance it out so I can get to my kids' school or this thing, like, it's kind of a lie. I think you need to build a life you don't need to run away from. You need to have more work-life integration. A friend of mine uses this phrase. He calls it do business, do life. Like it's, you don't extricate the two. Like you actually can like grow a great business, grow a great life at the same time. And realizing that there were examples of people out there that were prioritizing their family. They were prioritizing their kids. They weren't just like giving their family leftovers. And I had to, you know, learn some of that the long way. Like, we can probably get into this, but if we continue the story, I sold the business in 2020 because I got to a point where I realized like the motivation, like I'm running so hard after a business that my bride, Amy, my three daughters, Selah, Ari, and Haven, they were getting the leftovers. And even in the continued refining process, it's like realizing that wasn't necessary. I could have put boundaries in place. I could have said no. I could have said, you know what, it might take longer, but I'm going to keep the main thing the main thing. And there are people out there doing it. Like Jason, when we started working together formally, you were like, hey, stuff's not good at home. Like, I don't care about work. You know, take care of your family. Take care of your kids. Take care of your marriage. It just, it's like, that's what's most important at the end of the day. Like, so, you know, I guess over the last few years, I've become very passionate about the concept that like, no, you can actually like, God doesn't put dreams in your heart of big things to accomplish, but expressing the fullness of how he designed us doesn't have to come with a trail of bodies behind it and sacrificing those things that are most important. Actually, the fullness of what he's designed me to be is through more of my calling to be a husband, to be a father, to be a follower of God, to, you know, live like healthy, right? Healthy, healed, whole. Oh, and to go take ground in the kingdom, to go make waves, to go, like, he actually designed us to be able to do all of it. And he can lead us in that path. Just, we have to not have the, what I call the entrepreneurial lie. The entrepreneurial lie I was living in is, honey, I'm doing all of this for us. I'm doing all of this for you. And half the time, like Amy and the girls were like, Dad, we just want you. Like, we just forget all this stuff. Like, we want you, right? So I don't know. That was a long-winded answer. But it's taken wrestling. It's taken deep digging into motivation. It's taken therapy. It's taken counseling. It's taking like God slapping me a little bit to refine me. Like all of that is helping create a version, an authentic version that's like, you know what, if I can't honor my wife and my kids and do this at the same time, like it's just not gonna work. Like if I have to pick, I'm gonna pick them. But I don't believe it's binary. Like it isn't binary, but so many people think it is.
Amen. That's so good. Like, and props to you too. It takes courage, takes a lot of courage actually, to ask the harder questions and dig deeper when it's a lot easier in many, it's more expedient in many ways to just keep doing, you know, roughly what you're doing. So props to you for taking the time to introspect and dig into those things. I just think, like, for entrepreneurs, there's it's a process, right? So step one is saying, yeah, I think entrepreneurship is a path to a higher life, but it's so easy. I think one of the traps in stage one of that life is, I now call it like the Babylonian values. It's we need to work hard. And especially in your 20s, you really do need to work hard and work focused because it's so easy to get distracted. But beyond that, there's a form of slavery if you're not careful to just keep doing whatever the world says you need to do. But it sounds like that you got a vision for an even better way to do it. Did that come in the form of just like some other men or women in your lives that were doing similar things, but in a different way? Like, how, like, what was that? Was there a moment where you got inspired, or like how did you make that transition and see a fresh vision for how you could do it?
Yeah. Inspiration. Looking yourself in the mirror. There's this great line in the movie Jerry Maguire. And he uses this term. It's right at the start. It's when he says, I lost the ability to, you know, BS. Yes. But he goes, break down, break through. Break down, break through. I don't know which it was, but okay, so leave college, go work for this thing. It doesn't really work out. I'd exited college a little early. You know, I'd purchased a home, kind of in a way you almost feel stuck, right? So you're like in the rat race now. And I just kind of head down. And I was always like running. Went through a few things around 2010, got into the financial services business. Somebody said, I think you'd be pretty good at this. You know, you sell to business owners, you sell them on kind of money stuff. Like, let me show you. And so I saw a path, started doing pretty well, making good income, but it was on the road all the time. On the road. Really young kids at that time. Got to meet somebody through the financial services business around 2011, 2012, who was making more money than me, serving more clients than me, and had a life. Like, clients came to see them. And so, you know, in just some visits, like, he saw something in me and another young guy that worked for the firm. He basically was like, I think you could do it on your own. Even told us he'd stake us if we needed it. He's like, that's how much I believe in you. Wow. And we didn't end up taking that, but that confidence, and then even like the confidence that my wife had of like, wait, you could do some of what you're doing already, but possibly have more time and more money. And that was like the dream. And that's why we left a comfortable, fairly high paid thing to start our own. And it went really well. And it was actually really fun for a while. But call it that Babylonian influence, if you want to think of it that way. Like, the financial services industry, they'll parade you on a stage if you're doing well. It's about production, a wine and dine you, like, and man, can that business feed the ego. Gives you some fun trips, you can make some money, you get the fancy watches or whatever, and it feeds everything like carnal that says, attaboy, I'm good enough now. And you're constantly chasing it, but it's a hamster wheel of production. And so we grew a thing, like 55 employees, fastest growing, one of the fastest growing firms in Minnesota year after year after year, fastest growing in our industry year after year, made the Inc. 5000 list a bunch of times, even made like best places to work list. And COVID happens, it's early 2020, and I'm feeling just like torn. I'm kind of like, I joined a program called Strategic Coach. And I remember my coach, Chad Johnson, amazing guy. He seemed to have fun with his business and have a life and really value his family and was unwilling to do that. And he challenged me. He challenged me after a workshop to take 4 free days, what he called them, 4 free days in the next quarter. No big deal. It's like a little more than 1 a month, 4 days. And I remember I'm flying back from Chicago to Minneapolis where I'm based. And I look at the calendar and I had not a single gap in the next 3 months on my calendar. Every minute of every day was spoken for. I had no openings. And so I remember getting so mad. I was sitting toward the, I almost chucked the phone with my calendar on it, the wall in front of me, because I realized that I started in this business to like have more time and more money and like time with the girls and Amy. And I realized like, I don't own a business. The business owns me. And combine that with, come late 2020, the second part is I had an offsite meeting with my business partner's quarterly board meeting. And it felt a bit like an intervention because they were telling me all the ways that I acted like an ass to our team. And I'm like, that's not my heart. That's not who I desire to be, but I'm somehow running people over. I'm somehow going a million miles an hour. I'm somehow people are feeling not heard. Like, that's not my heart. So like, one, I don't even feel like I own this thing anymore. I just feel like pressed. I feel burned out. I feel like I'm, and it was a breaking point. So breakdown, breakthrough, I call it a breakthrough. Amy says it was my breakdown, but like, I got really honest that this was not the life that we wanted to build and that I was living in some unhealthy ways and patterns. And we decided to take a break. I had the opportunity and the blessing with my partner's support to take a sabbatical and just get real clear. And actually, you know, Jason, you know, it wasn't planned because we had golf that Friday and we show up at golf on Friday. I'm hosting you and Bob, one of our partners. I'm like, so guys, so I'm screwed up. I don't know when I'm going back to work. I have a lot to figure out. And that actually one thing led to another. And eventually God had a very clear, I would say like directive for us, which was, it was time to move. It was time to be repotted. It was basically like, if I stayed in the same spot, I was going to probably continue to produce the same fruit. But it was like the stripping away, the choosing to like sell and exit, the getting very honest and the willingness to be like, man, why? Like Amy would, I would say these things. I would say like, babe, I got to take this call. I have to fly to this place. I got to do this meeting. And sometimes she would just like say like, what do you mean you have to? Like, I thought you own the business. But I felt like, no, I have to do this thing. And I'm like, well, where? For me, it was like some deep, deep wounded, a young 7-year-old boy who, I don't need to go into the story, but who felt like some patterns of rejection, who like decided at one point that performance, success, being good enough is the way that I don't get hurt. I need to be strong enough, smart enough, dress right, or whatever, all of these things. And like, it led me on this pattern or this cycle that, you know, like it always does, it always requires new levels to hit and new levels of performance to even feel okay. And then you still feel like you're behind. You feel like you're constantly on the edge of losing it. So it's like, so like, I would say, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this is meant to be inspirational or not, but like, I had to go through a breaking time, a stripping away time of reverting to being like, God, who did you design? Like, who did you intend when you intended me, when you designed Skip? And I mean, like, I was calling my mom being like, hey mom, do you have like pictures of me when I was like little? So I was like the sweetest little boy, like the sweetest little 5-year-old. And somewhere in there, like I became this just like performance driven junkie. And I still have tendencies to go back to some of that, but like more and more, I'm trying to like live in this area where like at my core, like I'm pretty sweet and I'm gentle and I'm kind and like I care for people. I love to help. I love to help grow things. But I truly, truly, truly like love my wife and my kids, but somehow like I wasn't making like intentional decisions. I almost was like falling to my programming, which was like, gotta go, gotta go, gotta go, gotta, it's not okay to sit. So, and I don't know, this might've been unclear, but the, I had to look it in the face, had to be real honest, had to start exploring and be like, God, what do you have for me? And he had breadcrumbs, he had a path, got to meet guys, got to spend more time with guys like you and where I felt like, you know, the mission at Gratuce was worth helping, where, the idea of an integrated life where you could do business and do life, like you could have a family friendly lifestyle and maybe grow something successful. Those two didn't need to be like, those could actually be intertwined and not like separate decisions. And it's been a refining process. And, you know, I'm still on the journey, but some of it, yeah, find inspiration from amazing people ahead of you. Be willing to like kind of get naked. And what I mean by that is just stop hiding. Like I had so many masks on that like nobody saw the real me, because the real me built this facade to be okay, to protect myself. And finding some safe people, you and Bob, Austin, I mean, a few of you guys are like some of my comrades who I get to be real and authentic with, and a few other close folks. And it's like, we just journey together. We linked arms and we're like, hold each other accountable, tell each other when we're being a pain in the butt. And it's been a fun journey. It's been a journey.
Rewarding.
One that I highly encourage.
Yeah. Amen to that. Well, thanks for sharing that part of your story. There's such power in vulnerability. I think from the outside looking in, it's so easy. We do this all the time. We see what's easy to see in other people's lives around us. Comparison is such a easy thing to fall into. It's something we all, you know, struggle with at some point. But from the outside looking in, I mean, you had like everything going for you. You know, the strength of the business, the growth, the accolades. But inside, it sounds like there was something more there that you felt God had for you, and were willing to press into the process. Two things I see that jump out is you did have built enough of an economic engine that you could afford to take some time to slow things down, even though you were hostage to your schedule. The awareness was like 80% of the solution is just, oh, I guess I probably don't need to be this way. But to take the time to figure out how you could do it another way, that takes, like a lot, like I said earlier, like a lot of courage and a willingness to go deeper. So just want to, again, affirm that. And I just think it's such a relatable thing that people are internally struggling with this stuff, trying to figure it out. It's kind of universal, but it's something that we don't openly easily share. And so when someone like yourself, you know, shares that part of your story, I feel like it just opens up people to connect to that and think these deeper things. Like we truly believe God put us on this earth for bigger reasons. And we've got to find a way to pursue what we consider worldly success while also seeking these spiritual things. And so thanks for that. I think one of the other things you shared was just, you didn't use it today, but this idea of being under construction, or that period of time where I think you used, well, maybe share a little bit about that. Like, I think you changed the words that you used to describe the situation, but how did it
feel? I remember exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
How did it feel?
All right. So I go on this, you know, sabbatical time. And yes, I was so fortunate. Like most people can't take, it was in, like an indefinite amount of time, right? I was going to take a month, 2 months, 3 months off, figure out my crap. And then I was going to go back to work, excited to be the healthy version of me in it. And of course, got a different plans. But, you know, you're in there, right? And you get honest, you start getting face to face of like, I left a wake in my path. And like, I actually care for these people. But you know, it was like lead follower, get out of the way. And I screwing up, right? And then I'd made some mistakes. Like I deeply hurt my wife, Amy, in some ways. I didn't feel like that. I felt like a disaster. And I was telling a friend, a pastor, he runs a cool ministry. He's one of my guys, and we're like sitting down and I'm telling him all the cool, like, in retrospect, all the cool ways that God was working in my life. But like, I started the conversation by being like, all right, so I'm a mess. I tell him all these cool things and like miracle stories. And then I end with being like, so clearly I'm a mess. And he goes, whoa, Skip. He's like, can I stop you here? It's like, your story gave me goosebumps like six times in the last hour. He's like, how about instead of saying you're a mess, he says, how about we start looking at it like you're under construction? You know what? Construction sometimes is messy. Construction, it sometimes takes a little longer than we expect. Construction sometimes during the process into the neighbors, they might see a big pile of dirt. We know we're doing the foundational work. We're digging in. But I also know through the story, and we can look at this, and we see the fingerprints of the architect and the builder all over it, and you can trust that God's got a good plan and he's building something really great. And it shifted to where like now I just know, hey, I'm still under construction. So I feel awkward at times, like being on something like this to like tell a story and hopefully inspire people when it's like, man, I'm still figuring this stuff out. What even God's been showing and revealing lately is like, he's got a scavenger hunt for me and it's fun. He's got clues that he's hidden and it's going to make sense. Like, I don't need to see the entire thing, but he'll put a clue. He'll lead you to a next spot. And if you're open and you pay attention to the clues and like following his path is far better than just like charting my own. And I've charted my own plenty of times, but he's always there and he's patient and he's good. And like, when we come back to him, we're like, okay, I surrender. So, you know, surrender versus self-reliance. Like, that's a spot that like I sometimes want to like seize control. And but going back and going like, all right, he's refining, he's got me under construction and he's building something great. And he'll give enough like insight where you're like, yeah, like he is doing some cool stuff. Like, I'm gonna be okay.
Amen. Well, I just, yeah, from an outside observer, I remember I wasn't the guy to share that message, but I remember like, oh, there's probably something I should say. Because the way you're talking about it is like kind of has a, I don't even say a negative connotation, but it's like, oh, this is amazing.
Oh man, my self-talk on that, I was like, I was just like, I'm a disaster. I'm horrible. Who the beep am I right now? Like, and instead it was like, nope, God's working on me. I'm under construction. Yeah, you were one to definitely inspire and bring kind of a calming voice. You're like, I think the word you used at the time was refining, you know,
yeah.
Just well, a refining time.
That's the word that even came more recently. And as high achievers, right? I think this is the part that's so powerful in sharing stories. Like anyone that's interested in these types of topics we're talking about is somebody that desires more for themselves. And it's so easy though, to carry that burden that, oh my gosh, you know, I'm called to big things and I have to, you always feel behind the eight ball, right? Or it's that's a very common way to feel. And I think we are in the same boat, right? A lot of us. And, but this idea of like a refining process, you know, I'm not a smelter, you know, but I can picture, you know, roughly how making gold, silver, these things, you know, you start off with a thing and you melt it down, you get rid of some impurities and then it's better. And then there's always room to basically add that next level of purity, that next level of ability. And I think we always like the idea of process, like as go-getters, as high achievers, we always want to be there, right? We always want to accomplish that next goal, whatever it is. But realizing like there's a process to it and it's like an active rest kind of idea where it's like, yeah, you do need to work and you do need to take steps, but also there's times where the step is to step back or to slow down or, and as an achiever, just having that concept of, oh, you know, you kind of get to this level and okay, it's okay to be under construction. It's okay to be where you're at. And when you have that relationship that the Father is gentle and depending on, you know, your vision of what a good father is, that may or may not be intuitive, but he is gentle and he is kind and he has these steps and it's kind of, it's the joy, like you said, it's the challenge and joy of like learning to trust the Father through that process. I know that just in my own walk and even sharing, talking together, like that became more solidified and just in hearing a little bit of your story for, it's okay to be where you're at, but also no matter where we're at, there is greater and there's more that God has for us. So like all together, not feeling bad about where we can grow because we're not perfect, far from it. But that there is these gentle nudges where we have opportunities to take that next level and do something better than we've done it in the past without beating ourselves up.
Yeah. I think when you believe and you trust the author, like kind of that thing that came to me of like a scavenger hunt, there's somebody pretty awesome that designed the journey we're on. But there's a concept entrepreneurially, this guy, Dan Sullivan, came up with a concept called the gap in the game.
Mm.
The gap is when we look ahead, that our goals always move. You know, we get closer and closer, and it's like setting a goal to, like, you're sailing toward the horizon. Like, the horizon always moves. So occasionally I have to look back and be like, wow, we've come a long way. And so sometimes measuring in reverse and looking back and being like, you know what? Boy, we have made some progress. Like, I'm on my way. Oh, you know what? That actually was like the straightest line to get here. Or God had a plan. Or it can just be depressing if you continue looking ahead, because I like seldom accomplish my goals. Pretty much miss them 100% of the time because I set ridiculous ones. But if I look back like 10 years ago, like where I am now is like way ahead of what my goals would have been a decade ago. So like the game, looking back, it's a reasonable way to maybe stay motivated in the process.
That's so good. Well, yeah, as you share, you know, how we like to move towards the end is thinking a little bit more future, kind of caught up in the past, talked about some things today, but just in your personal walk or personal or business, where is God speaking to you, and what are you excited for the work he's doing either in your life or just, you know, as you look out the next year, 5 years, whatever, like what's exciting? What gets you motivated and passionate?
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure it out, right? Like how this all works. But the visual I have is like a Venn diagram. And specifically, when it kind of first emerged for me, it was three different circles. And one of my circles was kind of business and finance, entrepreneurial, you know, like stuff we do at Gratuus that came out of the personal finance, wealth management world. And like that was like a circle and some things I really, really enjoy. But then I love serving at my church. I'm part of this thing called Kingdom Builders. We try to help instill and develop generosity amongst the congregation so that the church can take ground and, you know, make waves and improve things. And I mean, I was at a thing at church last night, Tuesday night, and our church had like six or seven different groups going on. It was like Dave Ramsey, Revival Parenting, Alpha, Foster One for foster parents, like divorce care, a freedom subgroup. Like, it was so amazing. And like, that stuff gets me fired up to be like, I can help an organization that is helping hundreds of people on just a random midweek Tuesday night. Like, I love that. But then, you know, like we have this property in northern Minnesota. It's an old farm. We call it the Riverbend Refuge. And over the last few years, we've had hundreds of people come to it to go through these retreats. And specifically, we've led these retreats with an organization, Wild at Heart, John Eldridge, 4-day men's boot camps. My wife and some of our dear friends, co-hosts these women's ones, same things, they're called captivating retreats. And, you know, it was like, that's a circle. Like, that's something I love and I'm passionate about. I love the stuff at my church. I love business and finance. And the revelation for me has been, you know what? Like, my real like center is going to be when those circles overlap more and more and more. And what I'm beginning to trust is that I don't need to know exactly how it's all going to work out. I need to stay focused in the mission and led by God, and that he actually has, the Japanese have a principle like that. It's called Ikigai. We put it in the show notes or something, but the Ikigai principle is this idea of like, what are you passionate about? What are you good at? What can you get paid for? Like, what does the world need more of? And there is a spot there where that all comes together, and that's like your purpose. And so I'm realizing like, my purpose maybe doesn't look like everybody else's. Like, I'm somehow like literally like in the church world and love doing ministry and love doing business. And I still have yet to figure it all out, but I'm trusting that there's a path towards the fullness of that expression over time. And it's exciting. You don't have to feel like a square peg in a round hole. Like, along the way, of course, I was still got to like work and do things to get there. But like, I've seen enough breadcrumbs to know that I'm on a path towards living in the center of how God made me. And that's, you know, that's going to be me helping take my mountain. It's going to be me helping serve others to take their mountain. Is like the fullness of me expressed is going to serve a bunch of people, probably have a lot of fun, and have a very full, rich life along the way. And I mean, what more can you ask than that? So do I have it figured out? Like, no, but am I excited about it? Yeah. I hope you can tell.
Well, what a great segue. Just the idea that we never arrive. We're constantly learning, growing, figuring things out together. And I'm pretty sure this will not be the last time we explore these topics together to help others figure out how they can integrate. As we learn how to integrate better, just simply sharing the little nuggets we learn along the way, and hopefully others can benefit. So thanks, Skip. Thanks for sharing from your story. And I'm grateful to be on this journey of life together.
You bet. Glad to be a part of this, and glad to have been on the journey with you.